What a lovely introduction to a lovely word that we're going to look at today. Let's begin. I'm going to begin by thanking Tom, actually, so I don't forget. I am very thankful. It is a great privilege to be asked to share God's word with you all, to get to go to the Heavenly Father and expect him to work to show me what to share with you out of this amazing scripture that he's given. And I'm really thankful that Tom asked me to teach today, and I appreciate that. So now we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that you are full of wisdom, that you don't hold back, that you're faithful, and that the word that you've given is a word that we stake our lives on because it is our life. I pray, Father, this morning that as we approach your word, we do it from a place of humility, knowing that your words are what we live on, and that you've brought us to a good place in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, for this, and I pray in his name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad that Danny asked you guys some questions during announcements, because I have a few questions for you too. We're going to start out. Everything we look at today was written at least 2,000 years ago. So it might be familiar to some of us. Now, when we hear these words that are familiar, it can be tempting to go, oh, I just heard this. There's a reason. There's a reason that we hear these same things all the time. And so I have a couple questions for you today, because we are going to look at some places that are very familiar to us and that we might be tempted to think, oh, I already know this one. So ask yourself these questions now. Is each one of you, are you personally fulfilled in your life, living in freedom under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Do you experience freedom with Jesus Christ as your Lord? Are you confident, knowing that you are loved? Are you full of courage, knowing that you are safe? Are you full of purpose, seeing that you've been made part of a body of Christ when you believed on Jesus Christ? And are you able to serve from the heart, genuinely loving your brothers and your sisters? These are questions that we are able to ask ourselves. And there are people in this room who are able to answer yes to at least some of these, if not all of them. These questions are not some fairy tale that would be really great to consider somebody somewhere living this out. This is available to everyone who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are one of the people sitting in this room today going, yes, I am living in the freedom that's mine in Christ. Yes, I am fulfilled. Yes, I have purpose serving in this body of Christ. That's amazing. It's because that person cherishes these words. Those people saying yes to that, it's not because they've been given some special place or their lives are different than yours. It's because they've chosen to continually feed on these scriptures, these familiar passages that we're going to go to again today. And if you are a person in this room sitting here going, if I'm real honest, maybe I'm not free in Christ. Maybe I don't experience that in my life. Maybe I am still carrying a heavy burden. Maybe I don't think I have purpose in this body of Christ. Then these words are for you. These words are to bring you to a place where you can answer yes to these questions. This is available to everyone who believes on Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind today, that as we are reading these familiar passages, and if they're not familiar to you, maybe you've never been here before. Maybe you just walked in. I'm sorry. I don't know all of your faces, actually. So maybe you're like, wow, what is this crazy woman talking about? This is available to you. You hit the jackpot. Come on in and hear the words that are going to transform your life when they are believed. All right, let's open up in Matthew chapter 11. I am going to read from the NIV today, in general. You know that a lot of us started looking at the NIV at the camp that our church did a couple weeks back, month and a half or so. The reason that I chose today that we're going to be reading primarily out of the NIV is because sometimes these familiar passages are easier to hear in a different translation. Sometimes it wakes you up a little bit and you go, oh, I didn't actually consider this again. Is this how I view this verse? Is this line up against the King James? That's why we're reading out of the NIV today. We might switch back to the King James in a couple spots that I like that one better. But in case you are not an NIV fan, I apologize. You are more than welcome to write every single scripture I go to down, cross-check it against the King James, and come talk to me about it. All right, so let's see if I can find my place here. We are going to Matthew, and we're going to chapter 11. See how long it took me to get there? None of you needs to be embarrassed if it takes you a long time today. And that's something else I want to ask today, too. I hope that every single person sitting out here today has a Bible in front of them. I don't care if it's on your phone. I don't care if you brought a King James. I don't care if you brought an ESV. I don't care what version of the Bible you have in front of you, but have something available to look at. Because you should be able to find these scriptures. Not saying you should already know where they are. I'm saying if you leave here today and still don't know where Matthew is, find somebody and ask them to show you. Every single person needs to be able to access these scriptures, and they're available. They're available. Make use of that. Don't just sit there and listen. This isn't a passive life. Matthew chapter 11, we are going to start in verse 28, and this is Jesus Christ speaking. And he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the introduction to our life under Jesus Christ. Come who are weary and burdened. Come and take my yoke upon you. A yoke is something that designates, I don't know how to say this, a leadership. You put a yoke on an animal that you want to turn in the way that it's supposed to go to guide it. That's traditionally what a yoke is used for. When you have a master, you take their leadership. You go where the master drives you. Jesus Christ's exhortation here is, my yoke, the one that I direct you under, is light. I'm sorry, it's easy. And my burden is light. Would carrying a yoke on your shoulders be a burden? Yeah. Yes. If you were running free without any sort of leadership at all, would you be free? Yeah, okay, you wouldn't have a yoke on you. We're going to see actually in a minute that that's not actually one of the options. So what Jesus Christ says is, my yoke is easy. I'm not a Greek scholar. But looking into this word easy a little bit is really, it's a very neat word. It is a word that apparently there is no translation for in English. So we translate it a few different ways. And it's pronounced Christos or something very similar that sounds an awful lot like the same word for Christ. This word is something that designates something to be useful and good and kind. It's kind of wraps up all these ideas into one thing. It's translated a few different ways throughout the scriptures. It's generally like gentle, kind, good, useful, all these things. That's what Jesus Christ says his yoke is. That sounds like a nice life. Where my master is good and kind, where what he directs me in is useful. He says his burden is light. Back up just to verse 25 here, because let's see what Jesus Christ says right before this. It says, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus wasn't calling the strong and the mighty and those that had already proved themselves useful. He wasn't calling the most impressive. He thanks God that he revealed this to little children. And then he calls the weary and the burdened. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. And let's see something else about this Lord that we've been placed under, that we've accepted. Because I do want to stress that this is not, Jesus Christ is not everybody's Lord. He calls, come to me. We accept his lordship when we accept Romans 10, 9 and 10. You know, that if, I'm going to misquote it because I'm standing up here. That's what we all do. But it's, you know, well, we'll just read. Keep your head to Hebrews and I'll read this one for you. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Oh, and I'm reading out of the NIV, so I really would have misquoted it. I know this one out of King James. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Jesus Christ becomes our Lord when we confess him as our Lord, when we accept the payment that he made for our sin. Then we're under his lordship. We get to bear his yoke, which is easy. But it's not everybody. You don't have to choose that. But let's see a little bit more about this Lord in Hebrews in chapter 4. In verse 14, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. So Jesus Christ here is also shown to be our great high priest. A priest is one who makes a sacrifice for the sins of the people. He makes atonement. He's the one that stands between the people and God. That's our high priest is Jesus Christ. He sacrificed himself to make atonement for our sins. In verse 15, it says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. What a lovely life. This is available to every single one. Every single one of us, whether we've been doing this for, like Danny said, we've been in this church for a while. Some of us longer than others. I mean, we just came here a couple years ago, but known some of you for a long time. And, you know, no matter how long ago you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the call to you. He is your great high priest. If you have been working to try to perfect your flesh, you can go ahead and just put that one down. This is your great high priest. And if you can't answer yes to those questions I asked you in the beginning, it's still available. You haven't missed out. This life is still available. And you can still expect to see goodness in it. We can make Jesus Christ. We can accept that yoke now and move forward. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Because it's not just that we've been given a good master, it's that we've been relieved from a bad one. It's very tempting to think, I just won't have any master. That is 100% the doctrine of the world. I'll just do whatever I want to do. I'm my own master. Everybody needs to care about, you know, what do they call it? Self-care or something. I don't know. But that idea of like, I'll just take care of myself and I'll have everything I need and it'll be great. Right. In chapter 6, we're going to see something that I think everybody that professes those things, if they were to be very honest, could probably see to be true. In chapter 6, in verse 17, it says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You've been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? That's a really good question. What benefit? Is there a benefit? I mean, you can ask that. You can be honest and say, okay, God, you're offering this. Jesus Christ calls me to this life, but what's the benefit of doing what I want to do? What's the benefit of the other way? That's what's asked here. Like, okay, you tell me, what was the benefit? The result, those things result in death. That's the payment for sin. You want to be under a master that's not the Lord? You will get paid out for that. I'm sorry, I don't know if I read that right. Those things result in death. That's the payment for all the work that you do for the master sin. But now that you've been set free from sin and become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are free to work your entire life under your slave master of sin. And by free, I mean that's a choice that you can make. Really, this question here is to those who have chosen Jesus Christ, are you still living in this way? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your master and then decided to continue in your own way? There's no good payment in that. We get to live out this life accepting that Jesus Christ is our Lord, that he has good things for us, that his leadership is easy to bear and good and leads to good. Go to John 15, please. Verse 4 says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." This is Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples at that time. And he says, "Remain in me." No branch can bear fruit by itself. Verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Again, is our Lord expecting us to bring a lot of our flesh to the table here? Our abilities and our, you know, something that I've prepared for Jesus Christ. He says, "You can't do anything outside of me. But look what you can do with him. Bear much fruit." In verse 6, it says, "If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you." And my words remain in you. I'm not sitting at the dinner table with Jesus Christ on my day-to-day walk. But what I do have is, well, A, I know that my Lord is alive. I know that he is still doing things today, but I don't have him physically sitting at the dinner table with me. What I do have is the words that he spoke, and I have the words regarding him. And that can very much remain in me. I can choose to put that in every single day. And I can expect that the fruit of that is to bear fruit. He says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." What a harsh master. "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love." How will we know our Lord's commands? Well, a lot of them were revealed in this word. Verse 10. "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." Well, now we have a direct command from this Lord who's brought us into a good and an easy place. He says that his leadership is going to be easy and we're going to be able to do it. And this command that we read right here after "abide in me and let my words remain in you" is to love one another. Because I'm not the only one that's accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord. Some of you have too. What Jesus Christ did was not just for the individual, but it is for the individual. But we've been brought together as a body of Christ. Tom did a great teaching last week. If you weren't here, check it out on the website, because we've been brought into a body. And it's this body of Christ that makes known the glory of God to all of the world. And Jesus Christ's command here is that we love one another. Go to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to see a little bit about how we can choose to be in this body. We'll start in verse 1. So since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Sometimes it's helpful to know what we're supposed to be doing. I think it's helpful. I got a bread machine this last week, and I know how to bake bread from hand, and so I thought using this machine would be really intuitive. And all the recipes I looked up were like, oh, you just bung everything in there and bread pops out. It took me like a lot of tries. And what I was like, I really just want somebody to tell me what I'm actually supposed to do here. I don't want to just trial and error this for the rest of my life. I did successfully get a loaf of bread last night. But this is a stupid example, but my point is things aren't always intuitive. This life does not have to be intuitive. You don't have to make up what you're supposed to be doing just because the world thinks, it's fine, just do whatever. Like, no, we have a Lord. He gives us instructions. And if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing in this moment, there are always things that have already been revealed that we can be doing. You can be loving the brethren. You can be, what did we just read? Since you have been risen with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. All right. How am I going to set my heart on something above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God? Well, it's going to have to be through this supernatural spiritual word that we've already been given. We let these words remain in us. This is where we keep our minds. This is where we keep our focus. Whether we've been doing this since we were born or whether you walked in today and you're still not entirely sure what I'm talking about, this is where we keep our hearts and minds, on these things, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Not on earthly things. That's something to do too. Because now it's set in opposition to something else. So if I don't know if my heart, my thoughts are set on heavenly things, I do know if they're set on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are buried with him in his crucifixion. You are risen with him in his resurrection. That old life has died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So where should your mind be? Probably on Christ, on the things above. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. At the camp that we were at a few weeks ago, a lot of us, we spent some time looking at what idolatry is and how God views that and how he feels about it. And maybe some of us, even those who have been around for a while, maybe saw some idols in your heart. Maybe saw some covetousness you weren't expecting to root out. And then you think, well, what do I do now? Well, you lay it down and you keep moving forward. Jesus Christ was aware of your weakness when he called you into this beautiful, blessed place. And as we live this life, we get to continually refuse the things of the world. We continually put down the thoughts that belong to this earth. And we set our affections and our minds and our hearts and our desires on things above. And in the moments when you realize you haven't been doing that, you start. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. In case you needed a reason not to elevate those things in your heart. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. These are the ways of the world. Everybody used to walk in these ways. Even those of you sitting there thinking, I wasn't that bad. It's okay. You are still bad. Your master was sin. You walked in the ways of the world. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You know, if you want an example, because it does say to put off these things, but if I am walking as Jesus Christ is my Lord, when did Jesus Christ lie? When did he use filthy communication? I think the only anger he ever showed, it was pretty clearly righteous anger for a purpose, and is not the same just me getting real angry about people leaving ice cream wrappers in my couch. We get to put those things off. We put them off because we're following our Lord. And that's how easy it can be. Is Jesus Christ angry about the ice cream wrappers? He's not. Do I have to be angry about this? I don't. Don't lie to each other. Do I have to lie to my brothers and sisters? Do I need you to view me a certain way so badly that I would lie about it? Do I need you? Do I need something from you that I would lie to you to get it? It's so wrong when we lay it out like that. It's so easy to see, no, of course not. I would not. But these are temptations, aren't they, that are set aside as we follow our Lord. Because it's not just us. You know, if it was just you and the Lord, I guarantee you would be rarely tempted for any of these things. It'd be real easy to follow Jesus Christ if it was just me and him. But we're not, and that's not the life that we're called to. There's a body and a way to be with one another that's good and brings forth good fruit. It says you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge. Sorry, hold on a second. I just lost my place. This is why I read on my phone a lot. Being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Being renewed in knowledge in the image of the creator, that really comes down to, again, what are you doing with your thoughts? We continue to put these truths on. And you are going to be renewed in that. Now, I can sit and I can read scripture all day long and get nothing out of it if I do not accept that these are God's words. If I come to these scriptures thinking, I already know this, and life continues the same as always, and I'm still angry about the ice cream wrappers, and I'm still unhappy about my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I still feel like I was wronged, you are not believing these scriptures. If you are answering no to the questions I asked you in the beginning, you are not believing these scriptures. It doesn't kick you out of the body of Christ. Thank God. Jesus Christ did not demand perfection when he called you in. What he offered was a life where he is the Lord. And if you are not believing these scriptures regarding him, you can. You can start. You can put them in your heart and you can start believing them and you will see fruit. You will see good things. You will have a light and easy yoke. So much of it just comes down to what are you thinking and what are you believing? Where is your affection set? Let's keep reading here. It says, verse 12, therefore as God's... Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I skipped verse 11. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This is an amazing thing that we have been brought to. Because maybe one is very intelligent and one is not. Maybe one is very wealthy and one is poor. Maybe one's short and one's tall. There's so many things that we can identify with, we can exclude, we can bring in, we can cause our own little clubs and subdivisions. And not in the body of Christ. That's all worldly stuff. And we are not to be considering that anymore. So when you come to this place, in this body of Christ, in your thoughts and in your heart and in your mind, you come on equal standing with every other person that's been brought in as well. And when you look to your Lord and expect him to work good in your life, you get to expect him to work good in the lives of your brothers and sisters as well. Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Can we just stay there for a moment? Would you like to be this? Holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Do these verses sound like our Lord? They do. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is our Lord. This is who we're following. Can I be like the one I follow? I sure can. Proverbs talks about don't follow the angry man or you'll learn his ways. We are people who become like the ones that we follow. And you can choose to be following one who is compassionate and has kindness and is humble. Gentle and patient. We forgive as we've seen our Lord forgive. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What was the Lord's command that night? Love one another as I have loved you. This is what we will look, this is what we will see when we are doing that. This is what loving one another looks like. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Bryant and I were reading this last night. We were like, wait a second. What an amazing verse. What an amazing verse that let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Rule in your hearts, every one of us. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ, this is that of, that's kind of like about. Let this message about Christ, these words regarding Christ, Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This life that we are called to is incredible. And if you will choose to believe these scriptures, that they are true and that they're available today for every single person that will turn their heart, you will see these fruits in your life. You will enjoy the richness of walking with Jesus Christ as your Lord. This is not limited to somebody who has fulfilled a certain requirement or met a certain level of education or met a certain level of poverty or met a certain level of where people hurt themselves in the name of religion. Mutilation, thank you. The requirement here is bring your heart, bring your minds, and believe these scriptures that are laid down for you so that you can enjoy the fullness of a life, not only with the Lord Jesus Christ, but also in the body of Christ. Because if it was just me and the Lord, it'd probably be really easy not to sin against all of you because you wouldn't be an issue. But it wouldn't be nearly as sweet. It wouldn't be nearly as satisfying. And more importantly, it wouldn't be what God's purpose of the ages. God wanted a body. And he got it. And we're in it. And this is what it looks like. We are, I don't want to be unprofessional, Leon, and go too long. So, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 3 very quickly. We're not going to spend a long time here, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 16. Oh, this is one I do want to read in. What is this one? Oh, no, we're not going to read that verse. Okay, verse 16. This is some reproof to the body of Christ. We're not going to go into all the details surrounding this. It's an incredible part of the scriptures. I encourage you to read it. But here in verse 16, it says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." I do want to read this in the King James. There's something that is harder to see in the NIV, I feel like. Because King James uses this little word, ye. Does anyone hear that? Remember that from King James? Ye is not the same as you, Claire. It's you all. It's a plural. And we don't see that really in the English. The NIV, they do some things to try to make that, but it's easier to see in the King James. Let me pull that up here. All right, so verse 16. Listen carefully to the ye's and the you's, okay? It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you." Okay, ye are the temple of God. But the Spirit of God dwells in you individually as well. That's a pretty incredible thing. You have the Spirit of God in you when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But ye together are the temple of God. God's temple is sacred. I'm sorry. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So that's pretty clear. We together are the temple of God. I want to go to Psalms. We're going to go to Psalm 27. It's not chapters in Psalms. They're individual Psalms. Psalm 27, please. Okay, so what we do with our minds is really important, right? We've established that. We are told, set our affections on things above. I want to read Psalm 27. This was written by David. David was the king of God's people, and he had decisions that he had to make, right? Every single day. He had a lot of people that he oversaw. He had a lot of enemies come up against him. David was a man of war. In fact, he wanted to build God a temple at one point, and God said, no, your son can build that. You can get everything ready. But David was a man of war. And we see that a lot throughout the Psalms that he wrote, because he had a lot of enemies come up against him. And what did he choose to do with that? In Psalm 27, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This man did not live under the covenant where Jesus Christ was his Lord. This wasn't available yet. He saw that God was going to provide a redeemer. He saw that God was going to provide a new way. But he didn't live under that yet. And look what he was able to do with his heart and with his mind. That he could set his heart and his mind on the things above. He declared that he was going to seek the face of God and see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He also declared that he would wait on the Lord and be strong and take heart and wait on the Lord. We can be like David in how we set our hearts. This was, so many of David's Psalms are written during a time of trouble. I would say that what's more dangerous to us here in 2023 in the United States is not my enemies coming up to eat my flesh as much as comfort that leads to complacency, that leads to carnality. Because when I'm just very comfortable, I don't need to cry out to God for anything. I'm good. Maybe I'll just watch TV. And then I'll think about garbage. And then I'll do garbage. That's really more of our temptation today. Are you setting your heart and your mind and your affection on things above even when there isn't an enemy scratching at your door? Because there always is. We have a devil. He does not want you to believe God's word. He does not want you to live this fulfilled life that we just saw in Colossians chapter 3. He doesn't want the body of Christ making known the glory and the wonder and the manifold power of God here on earth. He does not want any of that. And so if he can divide us and cause you to stop following your Lord and rather just follow the comforts that are available, he doesn't need an army to come up to eat your flesh. Maybe he just needs reruns of Frasier on at 11:30 at night. How embarrassing. You can choose every day, no matter the state of the day, to recognize that what we have been brought to is on a spiritual plane. And that these scriptures are just as needful in a time of peace as they are in a time of war, as they are when all of my needs are met, or if my fridge is empty. These are the scriptures that we live on. This is the life that we have agreed to, that we have said, I will seek your face. And in that, we will see greater fruit, a oneness and a unity in the body of Christ. Jesus Christ said fruit. You'll see much fruit. Let's go to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, it's way in the back, and it's little, and if you've got a thin Bible like I do, it's really easy to miss. Chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I would like grace and peace in my life. I can have that in abundance, magically. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. It said through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Again, through a knowledge of him. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, because you've believed, because you accept these great and precious promises, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. I looked this up in a number of different, I read a few different commentaries about this section because it's handled a lot of different ways, which is interesting. But the one thing that I did find kind of repeated throughout all of them is that, again, in the Greek language, this word add is more of like how a director would add more voices in a choir, like kind of bringing up the music, if you will. Like, okay, this has started, and now this, and now this, and now this, and now this. And then what you have is this glorious, full, rich choir sound, right? Greek must be a really cool language. So that's this life that we have. That's this through a knowledge of him. Now, if you decide to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and then refuse to follow, and you go back to your old ways and you walk away, you can do that. That is the choice that you can make. You can disregard the body of Christ. You can disregard what you've been called to. You can disregard your Lord. And you can do that. We don't have a harsh master. But wouldn't you rather be a part of this glorious life? Grace, peace, forgiving one another, loving one another, being loved. This full, rich abundance is what you can expect. And if you are part of the body of Christ and you're not seeing this, let's keep reading. It says, in verse 8, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. Even the things that are really familiar, even the things that we've heard day after day. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. These were Peter's last words to the church that we have recorded. And this is what he wanted for them, was to remember the things that they knew, to recognize these sure and precious promises from our Lord, and to have a life that was increasing in the knowledge of the words regarding Christ. We can have this life. We can have a joyful and rich and full life together as the body of Christ, knowing that we are the temple of God. Remember that psalm that we read? David's only desire was that he could dwell in the temple of God all the days of his life. The temple hadn't even been built yet. That was a higher desire than just wanting to stay somewhere. He wanted his focus, his thoughts, to stay on God all the days of his life. We are given the same exhortation. Let's keep our hearts and our minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Let's obey when our Lord calls. Let's do the things that he's laid out for us to do. We get to enjoy an easy yoke and a light burden in this life as we abound in this knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I love you all, and that is...